So what really has been going on with the marriage of Ruby and Kevin Frankie? Ruby Frankie, of course, one of the mommy bloggers, along with Jody Hildebrandt, that have been arrested and charged with child abuse. But where's Kevin, the dad, in this whole situation? In the last day or two, more has come out on that. And we're going to try and work our way through this to try and get a better understanding of what exactly his role is or was in any of the accusations that are against Ruby and Kevin Frankie, because frankly, everyone wants to know. Of course, Kevin Frankie faced the agonizing revelation in last August that his wife, Ruby Frankie, and their family friend therapist, Jody Hildebrandt, were detained with his two youngest children in a healthcare facility for criminal malnourishment of the children. In the year leading up to the grim discovery, Kevin had only received infrequent communication from his now estranged wife, apparently. A drastic shift in family dynamics that traces back to the involvement of, you guessed it, marriage counselor Jody Hildebrandt.
Bum, bum, bum.
It's amazing that some people have this sort of pull over people. It's spooky. I mean, it really is spooky that some people can just enter someone's life and suddenly, oh my gosh, everything that you knew about that person or that person seemed to be changes. And I guess,
haven't you known like really charismatic people where you just look at them and it's like, my goodness, you could rule the earth if you tried.
I know, but Jody Hildebrandt, have you seen some of her stuff? I mean, just watching it before she was arrested and her teachings, if you will, or the bullshit that she put out on YouTube. She's not one of those people. She's not like a Tony Robbins or something where it's like, oh, I'm kind of, you know, oh my gosh, yes, take my money. I'd like your 38 cassette set of self-help tapes. Right. I don't even have a cassette player anymore, but I'll buy it. She wasn't that. She just, I don't know. That's where I'm wondering, like, is the bar really low for some people and who they're going to follow? In a candid conversation with People, Kevin's attorney, Randy Kester, expressed, Kevin was taken aback. The allegations against Ruby and Jody left him stunned. It dawned upon him the magnitude of deception that he had been subjected to. That's coming from his attorney, and the correct smart move that would be made by an attorney right now is get Kevin as far away from the accusations as possible and make him appear to be as completely clueless to it as he possibly can be. And he may actually be, but it does seem a little bizarre that, you know, your wife leaves with the kids and you talk to him like two or three times in a year and doesn't even communicate with his own kids. It's all very odd.
That's weird.
It's
all
weird. Very, very odd. And then some of his behavior towards one of his daughters also gets a little bit bizarre too. We'll get to that in a minute. The couple who once reveled in the limelight of their eight passengers vlog on YouTube has amassed, of course, a dedicated following, 2.5 million subscribers. That's no easy feat. Their content chiefly revolved around the daily adventures and life lessons of their six children. However, even this digital haven suffered a setback when the couple decided to part ways a year before Ruby's dramatic arrest. Eyewitness accounts and police allegations shed light on the distressing environment the Frankie children were exposed to, particularly in Kevin's absence. When Ruby and the two youngest residing at Jody's residence, there's some serious accusations concerning the treatment of their 12-year-old Russell Frankie. Claims emerged about him being physically restrained with ropes. And even more distressingly, and this just gets totally twisted, cayenne pepper and honey being deliberately applied to injuries by Ruby and Jody. That is sadistic and cruel. And where the fuck is in your mind does that ever come up to be like, hey, let's punish them by putting potential things in them that can harm them even more?
You know, well, and you know, you were on vacation. Carol and I did a segment on, I don't even remember the story, but I shared a little bit of my sadistic father, and Carol was speechless. I mean, She didn't have a lot to say.
That's rare.
My dad used to put together food concoctions as punishment for my brother.
What?
Yeah. He'd leave things in the refrigerator to get moldy.
Oh my God.
And would combine it like with sour cream and sauerkraut and whatever moldy meat or just horrible things. Like moldy sour cream, sauerkraut, just really, really weird things, and mix them up in the blender and make my brother drink it.
Do you view your dad as being evil?
Yo, fuck.
Okay.
He was the epitome. Yeah.
That is shocking.
Yeah, he was horrible.
What kind of upbringing did he have that this was what he thought was the right way to parent?
You know, and that's interesting that you asked that question, because he had a very overbearing mother.
Okay.
And I think she emasculated him, because he was really, really big on, he had to be the big tough guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could never demean him in any way. He had a very fragile ego. He was very insecure. He had to be the best at everything. He reminds me of somebody that we've seen in the political venue.
Okay.
I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that man has done anything like what my dad did, but my dad was very insecure and needed recognition constantly. And my grandparents, they were really nice grandparents to me, mm-hmm. but you could see these streaks of evil within them as well. So we knew that something had to have gone on for his upbringing to be this way. Something was going on under the surface.
Yeah.
Because you don't just wake up one morning and go, I'm going to abuse the shit out of my kids. It comes from somewhere. So reading this story, I just think everybody knew about it. They had to have known about it. And for him to be getting off without being investigated or even questioned in any way just surprises me, because there's no way he didn't know this was going on.
I find it very hard to believe that he didn't know. I mean, maybe he didn't know what was going on at the home of Ruby and Frankie together in their relationship that was happening. But yeah. I highly doubt he had no clue that Ruby and her parenting tactics of what they were when they were together. Now, were they as bad as what we ended up seeing at the end here, where the child escaped emaciated and duct tape? Maybe they weren't. And maybe things really went off the deep end after she left. I think that is a very real possibility. But the warning signs were certainly there. But at the same point, it does make you wonder, you know, was it criminal, though, or was it just strict parenting? I'm not talking the abuse that they're being charged with. I'm talking prior to that, when Kevin actually saw it. And
so where do you draw the line, though, between really strict parenting and abuse? That's where I start scratching
my head. Harming the child.
Because I've seen abuse.
I mean, when you're going over the top and harming the child, if you're not feeding your child, if you're not providing at least the basic needs of life, and if you're going over the top trying to mentally damage them or hurt them, it's one thing to, you know, go through life and you got to feel your regrets, you got to feel pain, you got to feel sadness and sorrow, so you learn and grow. But if you're really going out of your way to put those things and those feelings into your child for no real reason, that's abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one to let someone learn from their mistakes. It's another to create the mistakes and then pour honey and cayenne onto it.
Ugh.
Essentially. Diving deeper.
But that is sadistic.
It is completely sadistic. It's evil. It is evil. I'm just wondering how much of it she did in front of Kevin and how much of it was her and Jody like, yes, let's do this. You know, in this evil little cult thing Jody had going on. Diving deeper into Hildebrandt's background reveals a checkered professional history. She commenced her association with the Frankies in 2021, prominently specializing in sex addiction. Jody faced reprimands from state authorities back in 2012. Owing to an improper relationship with a client the very year following her personal battles of a divorce, strained ties with her children, Jody launched Connections. Her venture, as advertised on her website, pledges to empower individuals to thrive in relationships. This from someone who just went through a divorce and has strained relationships with their children. Let me teach you how to empower you and thrive in your relationships because I know what I'm doing. I mean, it's an example I would give of who the fuck would take this serious. Back in radio, what we would have our bosses, we would have consultants, we'd have our bosses would do something called air checks where they listened to our performance on the air and then critique and criticize and, you know, in the right conditions with someone who's talented, has skill and sense, it can be very helpful. When it's at the hands of someone who sounds like, you know, trying to find a nice way of saying this, a disabled Pee Wee Herman on the air, and really has the mindset of that of a child predator, probably maybe even had been, and that's the person critiquing you. It's hard to take anything serious from someone who you view as nowhere near having the abilities that you do. It's not an ego thing. It's just, you wouldn't be taking, you know, lessons from a little league coach if you're in a major league baseball game.
Well, and it goes back to the saying, those who can't teach. And this isn't a slam at teachers in any way, but we know people in certain professions that they can't do the actual vocation, but they can teach it.
Yeah. And that certainly happens. And I think that's where you have people like this, where that's the only place that they can go. And I think some of it is their own therapy, trying to work through their own shit. And then they're using other people's to, you know, see what happens as, you know, their little Petri dishes. I just keep reading about the empowering individuals to thrive in their relationship with an emphasis on liberating individuals from distortions to embrace truth, connection, and freedom. Should be noted.
Freedom.
As long as that truth, connection, and freedom are all what Jody Hildebrandt's definitions are. And distortions are all
what they took away from the kids.
Yeah. Truth, connection, and freedom is basically what they took away from the kids.
Exactly. My God, the kids had duct tape on their bodies. Their truth was completely fucked up, and connection to the outside world, they didn't have it.
The counselor-client relationship between the Frankies and Jody intensified, culminating in a pivotal trip involving Ruby, Kevin, and another therapist. Post this journey, Ruby's perspective on her marriage had radically shifted. Recollecting this phrase, Kester quoted Ruby's exact words to Kevin, quote, "Your attitude is infesting the family." She firmly believed that their only recourse was separation. Kevin, despite these developments, continued attending several sessions a week with Jody. In a turn of events, when their son Chad decided to reside with Kevin, Jody intervened, advising separation. According to Kester, Jody's influence permeated so deeply that Kevin became increasingly isolated, with Ruby being granted limited access to contact him. However, red flags had been raised about the family earlier. June of 2020, social workers began probing into the Frankie family dynamic, spurred by unsettling content on their YouTube channel. This included incidents like Ruby openly denying lunch to a six-year-old, her six-year-old daughter Eve, and then 15-year-old Chad confessing to sleeping on a beanbag for a staggering 7 months following a harmless prank on his sibling. Yet these inquiries hit a dead end as Utah's Division of Child and Family Services couldn't validate the abuse claims. Recent tube saw Ruby frequently shuttle between her residence in Springville and Jody's home in Ivins, Utah. During one of these transitions, they were apprehended following consistent efforts by an alert neighbor at the couple's estranged daughter, Sherry, 20, to alert authorities. Voicing his concerns, the neighbor stated Child Protective Services conveyed that their hands were tied until a calamity occurred.
And that's always how it goes. You know, we'll do something as soon as somebody is injured or killed.
Yep.
Then we'll step in.
The fire's burning. We can clearly see the fire, but and it's not for, I think, the will or the desire for a lot of CPS to step in earlier. They legally can't, because that's our broken system. They can't. Currently, both Ruby and Jody are incarcerated in Washington County correctional facilities awaiting legal proceedings. It's interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how accountable Kevin is for some of this and where it's all going to go. Another interesting thing that I had read about was right after Ruby and Frankie were arrested, not Ruby and Frankie, Ruby and Jody were arrested, was that the older daughter was able to go into the house of Kevin and get some personal belongings out, which you would think, you know, this is your daughter. You'd, you know, come on, get your stuff, whatever. He wanted to file charges against her for burglary.
Wow.
Even though, and they requested, I believe, someone from CPS or some sort of police escort to get stuff out of the house. And they got it done. And she just took stuff, I believe, that was mainly hers. But I believe she did also take some journals and such out of the home, which were returned, from my understanding. But at the same point, I'm kind of curious as to why the oldest was trying to take those sort of things. My guess, trying to find anything that she can to document what had been going on in that home for many years. Because I'm guessing the thing that's going to bury Kevin and it's going to bury Ruby and it's going to bury Jody is the testimony of these children.
Especially this older one. Yeah. This one, Sherry, is going to be able to bring them to their knees.
Yeah, I think at the end, she and their siblings will be the last ones standing. I don't think the future bodes very well for any of the adults in this situation, and nor should it. But I think there's a lot more to come that we're going to learn about that was going on behind the facade of the shiny, happy family that Ruby Frankie wanted everybody to believe she was part of.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.